guest on the program today, Boone Mayor John Slight. Good to have you in.
Thank you. Good morning.
Here we are wrapping up. Oh, wow. Your second meeting in September already. Only a few more months to go.
I know. So, I know it.
We'll see. Yeah. And last night for the Boone City Council, a rare occurrence, you had a case presented from Boone Area Humane Society and through city attorney. Rafe Montag did the presentation, but it had to do with the vicious dog. Part of the ordinance that deals with declaring a vicious dog. I think in your tenure, you probably went, three? Would have been the third one?
Three in 20 years, yes.
Yeah, they don't come up often.
They don't. They do not.
Pretty emotional when they do.
Everybody's on the edge. You're talking about the livelihood of these dogs. And last night's presentation was about Boone. The Humane Society brought forth that they felt that these dogs were vicious. And so they kind of laid out a case where it showed that both dogs, even when one was a puppy, have been very aggressive. The latest was, I think, August 12th.
The past August 12th.
So the dogs got out of their fence, ended up biting. Matter of fact, attacked the person from the Humane Society. And then she actually got away from it, and they came at her again. So the case was laid out. Obviously, the dog owners were there, very upset, wanted to plead their case. The way the case was laid out, all the evidence we've seen in the pictures, I mean, the council says, hey, these dogs are vicious. So what happens now is, with our recommendation, they'll be euthanized, but the dog owners do have an opportunity to appeal it to district court. So, mm-hmm. And they were on their way out the door, they were yelling that they were going to appeal. So
that was their position, and that's happened before. Again, that's part of the process. And again, it's all about the public safety part.
Absolutely. That's what it comes down to.
Council did vote unanimously to declare that both were vicious animals. So that's part of that process. Like I said, they don't come up often. No, very emotional and highly charged.
I love dogs. I think most people do. And so it's hard to do that. But you got to look for the public safety. These people work with dogs every day, the Humane Society. And, I mean, she got bit pretty good. So not good.
That was part of the meeting last night. It took up most of the time, actually.
Yes, it did.
We did have a few other things that came up, though, and one of those, a little bit of a presentation on the economic development side. Brenda Dreyer with Ames Economic Development worked with the city, actually worked with Ogden on the same kind of project, an owner-occupied repair program. We apparently have a demand because they're starting to get when are we doing this again?
Exactly. Yeah,
and that's good.
Yeah, they had 14 applications. 11 of them were funded. Total dollar amount that was available is $86,338. Six projects are complete, which I thought was pretty good because this thing just took off, So they've spent $48,765 so far. There's still five projects remaining. Those people have been contacted, told them they needed to get this done. So,
very successful. I know when they did it in Ogden, too. Same kind of thing.
Same results, yeah.
This is make use of Central Iowa Housing Trust Fund.
Yes.
Which does have some grant dollars available to help do this. Right. It does require a small amount going in from the city.
Right.
And then the help of getting through everything.
Oh, yes.
It's kind of like it's almost like the CDB, the Community Development Block Grant, but it's more in-house. And you have a little more control.
Yes.
You can do some bigger projects.
Yeah, they look at each app and they decide, they kind of break down what they feel, is appropriate for for this program. And I think you'll see it happen again if the money's available.
So, again, that's one of those things. A little bit of an update on that last night.
Great,
Last night also, council did get finally a formal site plan and stormwater for Kate's Landing. And good name.
It is. It's a good name.
Again, Kating Development, this is an ongoing process right now. The city still owns the property, but indications are they are going to try to acquire that.
Yes. So this is the 15 acres. And it's the subdivision at the 400 block of South Marion. And so it's 128 units. There's going to be some sixplexes, fourplexes, duplexes. And so it kind of laid out the project last night. Council unanimously approved it. And we'll go from there.
Got a couple of things to do, like easements and stuff like that.
Right.
But otherwise,
city attorney's working on that end of it, so we'll get that handled. But yeah, we've been working on this project for a while. Obviously, we wanted to get that road paved out there. We knew that would spur some development in that area, and so we're excited about it because after hearing the housing report, it's nice to see that we've got more housing coming available. These are market price housing, so it's not low to moderate income. I get asked that a lot. Mm-hmm. So I think it's good. I think it'll be good for the community.
This is one where they will, and Kadings were successful with getting some of the tax credits for another project they have in Madrid.
Right.
Again, working with Ames Economic Development.
Yeah, here we go.
Throwing this in here again.
Common theme.
But, I mean, part of it is they will pursue that.
Right.
That's up to them, and that's not you guys. It's just they will go for that. Our low to moderate income really is up there on 22nd.
It is 22nd. That's taken off. If you, I don't get up there a lot. I have some relation that lives on the north past Boone, so I go by it and see it. It's amazing.
That's going up pretty quickly. Fast,
it
isn't it?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, I've been by. I occasionally just take a trip that way just to see what's
crazy.
Happening new today. But making a lot of progress there.
Yep.
And, of course, the other one that got some of that workforce tax credit, the Bringle project. And they'll be moving forward with that as well. So, there's a number of them going on there.
There is. We're busy.
That's all right. We're in South Marion. Speaking of South Marion.
Yeah.
Obviously, they're not going to go ahead with that until that road's done, but West Park, South Marion, a little slow going.
It is. Had a few change orders, which we never like to see, but I think in the whole scheme of things, they were good. We're going to make sure it's done right when this thing's done. Stormwater-related issues, those types of things, but yeah. I think it was 3 change orders early, but I'd rather catch it now than have to tear anything up and redo things. So.
Well, this was on putting the storm water in there
is pretty important.
You're finding some underground things that need a little work and adjustment there. As long as we're talking about roads, let's talk about the Hancock Extension, of course. The school building that, the city still has not accepted it.
We have not.
And I know people were hoping that it would be open this week, but... the lighting is in and things like that, but it's a couple of structural issues.
Yeah, a couple of panels that were, I guess they were sinking somewhat. They've been torn out. They're supposed to be replaced. So our city administrator asked the council last night, he believes this thing will be done before the next meeting. So he asked for authorization to when our staff looks at that and says it's okay that we can go ahead and get it open rather than waiting to accept the project at our next meeting. So, which is good.
Good.
I get it. Yeah. Cause we don't want to wait and we want to get the thing open, but we're not going to open it up until it's done right and it's safe. And so the lighting's in and it'll be good. So
one of the other things you did do was change the speed limit on Corporal Snedden Drive, which was brought up last night. One of the council members had somebody complaining about that.
We had a council member. So we changed the speed limit to 40. All the way from Mamie Eisenhower to Highway 30. It used to change in there around the National Guard area and go to 55. And so we've changed that because we believe with the future traffic, once that road is open, you're going to see a lot more traffic, and we wanted to slow things down. But we did have a councilman had a complaint that they thought we needed to see if we could raise that speed up somewhat because they thought it was too slow. We're not doing anything until that road's open, until we can watch it, see what happens. But I think you're going to have a lot of traffic stop, people turning, so we want to try to slow it down. But
just to see what kind of impact that will have. Okay, so again, not that you're not aware, but it is one of those where the decision or the recommendation from public safety was to go ahead and make that reduction in advance. So that's what's happening there, but... Keep my fingers crossed they get it open
soon.
Get
that thing open.
I know. Everybody would like to have that done. One of the things yesterday, of course, we did have the tree planting that went on downtown, and we did have a number of people that turned out for it. One of the other things you had asked to do, and Mike Cornelis and Waylon Andrews did go around and check trees downtown, condition of the sidewalks and stuff like that, and they have supplied a report to the council about... some recommendations, whether it be removal, whether it be sidewalk repairs.
Right.
But there are some recommendations there to take
there
a look. Because, planting them is one thing, but maintaining what you've got is still another big challenge.
And I've said that for years. When we used to plant a lot of trees, I'm like, hey, let's first maintain what we have, and then if we can get back to the planting, fine. But anyway, for the downtown area, so they planted some trees yesterday. You're right, Mike Cornelis, our park superintendent, gave a lengthy report on what trees are there, what needs to be done, what probably needs to be removed, which trees we need to keep an eye on. That will probably go hand in hand with what Councilman Mormon brought to the council about a sidewalk project for downtown, because there's some sidewalks that are heaved, and so then is it due to the trees? Is it due? So those will each be looked at. The council, we didn't take any action last night, but possibility of a program where the city would participate so much along with the business owner if repairs need to be needed.
Sure.
And then even in that, it said, what caused the heaving? Was it the existing trees that were put in years ago? So we're going to all take a good look at that and probably have a recommendation on if we'll participate and how much. And
this will be one of those that would be a budget item next fiscal year budget.
Right.
So again, slow.
Trees are great.
Wheels move slow.
Yep. The trees are great, but we need to maintain what we have. So I say that, you know, because we've actually had a maintenance plan now for years where we start trimming trees, and they do it in quadrants and move around the community. But we're a Tree City USA, but what comes with that is a lot of maintenance, not just above ground, but below ground as well. So,
you found out about that.
We do the root cutting, and
that's part of the CMOM.
An ongoing.
That never goes away. You don't see it underground, but those roots do like to find.
They do.
Find your sewer line, so keep working on that. Speaking of sewer lines,
yeah,
still working on the disinfection project down there at the water environment station. It's taking a long time.
Taking way too long.
Are we going to have that done before you're done?
I don't know. Wow. They project it will be. I don't know. This has been, it's been quite a deal. You know, a lot of change orders there, things that happen. There's some things that we could control. Mm-hmm. Some we couldn't, like them being on the job, you know, for X amount of days or whatever. It just goes on and on. There's a lot of things involved in it. Some of it could end up in litigation, so I don't want to get too far into this. But
one of the things that led to, again, because the water environment station, and this takes you back to when you first came in and the massive
mandated sewer line
work that the city did, what, $15-16 million or something like that, or even more, closer to 20. But again, that was Honey Creek, basically.
That's right.
And because of that, when this came along and you had to do the disinfection, that's when you had some council members, city administrator at the time, Luke Nelson, went to the DNR and said, look, we've got a plan. Can we work with you on this? But part of it did lead to what we're doing on our I&I work or sump pump inspections.
It does. So, all this is kind of encompassed together. But I remember when we had council members, the city administrator met with the DNR, said, hey, we understand that you want us to do this disinfectant program. We don't have the money to do it. We've just finished up we're finishing up the mandate that we were under where we did all the sanitary sewer trunk lines throughout the community and all, you know, that's underground. But I think the community remembers we had a lot of the streets tore up. We had a mess, but we got it done. We were one of 16 communities put under that mandate. We did it. I still question if the others, I'd like to know if they finished. But anyway, doesn't matter. We did it. Then they come and hit us with, now you got to do this UV disinfectant program. We said, we don't have the money. Would you work with us? And if we can we showed them to date what we had done. These are the improvements we've made. These are the future improvements we intend to make. Will you work with us? And we did. And they were very good to work with, which turned the I&I project, which is ongoing. And that's the program where we ask residents, please don't pump your stormwater into the sanitary sewer. And that's been very successful, and it's helped out a lot of homeowners. But now here we are trying to finish up this disinfectant project, and it's just taken forever. So. Yeah.
And I know, you've got people out there that they'll try to find a way to sneak it into the sanitary sewer line if they can and stuff like that.
Just don't do it.
Part of it is, again, the reduction in...
Yeah, it's the... We're treating stormwater that doesn't need to be treated, and which costs money. And, I used to tell how we used to treat 2 to 3 million gallons a day, somewhere I couldn't give you the exact number. when we would get a real heavy rain, there was so much storm water getting into the sanitary sewer. There was times we'd treat 40, 42 million gallons in one day. That's not necessary, first of all, and it puts our capacity up there where the DNR looks at our peak numbers and says that we have to be able to treat that much. Well, we don't need to treat that much because that's stormwater, and I think we've done a good job. We really have. We've worked around the community.
People keep wondering, you know, well, this just came up. No, it did not.
We've talked about this for years. Yeah, so we've had a few complaints, a few issues. Overall, though, I think very successful.
Well, it's ongoing. We know that. And at least the utility committee group has seemed pretty well focused on they're going to do the full community.
Right.
So everybody will go through this. We did have a couple of things. First of all, the fires, you know, once you got the ground stabilized over there,
yeah.
Fire department addition moving along pretty quickly,
moving
which is good
well.
Because the truck's going to be here in a month.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Need a place to put
something
it.
Something like that. Yeah. And again, people will wonder, okay, well, this is another tanker, and we see this for a lot of our fire departments. A lot of mutual aid calls going on.
Right.
And a lot of it is running water in the rural part of the county.
Yes, that's exactly what it is. So with this new truck, we actually got a grant to get this new truck, but kind of an odd situation where we had no place to put it. So with today's trucks and the weight with the filled with water, and it was too much for our existing fire department floor. And so we needed to add on, and that's why you see that addition going on there by the firehouse.
Which used your recovery money.
We did.
You used all your recovery money for that. So again, that's how that work is getting done.
It is getting done.
And the grant for the fire truck, too.
Yes.
Minimal amount of actual dollars you had to use towards that. All right, we do know from the fire department side, there is going to be a controlled burn coming up. Didn't get it done this weekend, but
October,
a couple
I think,
of weeks.
I think October 1st. That'll be the old Pizza Hut building. And, yeah, they were going to do it this last weekend. Ran into a couple snags. A few more things need to be removed, which is fine. So it's going to happen, though. So that'll be a controlled burn, good training for our firefighters, and which also helps the building owner.
Yeah.
But there's still an expense that has to be cleaned up and those things. But overall, I think it's good. That building needs to come down. It's old, and it's time. So
people that might have seen fire trucks around there, they do go out there and train there. They do practice there.
They do.
So again, even though they haven't done a controlled burn.
Yeah.
Now, the other part is because you do have working arrangements with others, not just this property owner, but if they want to demolish, the city will work with them on the demolition.
Yes.
But you do require new structure within a certain amount of time.
Yes. Yeah. We've done a few different types of development agreements that way where, you know, the city will contribute so much if you end up tearing this thing down. We've had agreements where we ended up acquiring the property once because we tore it down. There's different ways of doing it. But there's still some properties out there that need to probably come down. But we've really focused on, and it helps these neighborhoods. When we tear down an old house in the middle of a neighborhood, I mean, I always get calls. Thank you for finally getting, because it takes a long time. Thank you for finally getting this thing tore down. And it makes those property values go up. So
all that nuisance abatement.
Yeah.
A couple of quick things. We did have closed session.
We did. Contract negotiations
going on, Public Works, and also with Fire Department.
Yes. Yep.
And again, they came out with their initial proposals earlier this month.
Right.
So we're in the negotiation
we
time
are
now.
Getting right after it.
And also did have a Tina McDonald as a property that's 1,000 block of Marshall.
Marshall, I think it is.
And working on a project there, working with Iowa State Engineering Design School and potentially the EDGE program. And I know they've got a couple of people that they're bringing in to make some improvements, enhance that area.
I think it'll be great. Yeah, she gave a quick presentation, introduced the gentleman from Iowa State. And I was glad to hear she said they've reached out to the EDGE program, who I think they do a great job. And they're going to work together. Sounds like it'll be about a semester-long project. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember how many groups he said. They're groups of three.
Yeah, they've got a lot.
And, yeah, so it's pretty neat. I was impressed.
Those are the kinds of things, yeah, we hope it turns out to be nice for that neighborhood.
Yeah.
But they did indicate They want to have some sort of a meeting so that neighbors will have an opportunity
understand what's
to
going on
and come and maybe be a part of it.
Yeah,
so we'll see what ends up. Permit for the high school homecoming parade approved. That's done.
That. We actually got a lot done.
You got
nice
a variety. Got a little rain, settled some of the dust out there, and we'll take that. I'm sure the fire department's still nervous because it's awfully dry.
It is dry.
So anyway, they will make it.
Yes,
we'll all get through this too. Otherwise, those are the things that have been happening right now. Still have some a number of different projects in town that are still going on, and we'll just keep track of those. A lot of housing work going on.
A lot of housing projects going on. There's just a lot going on. We've had a few street closures here and there, fixing some. Mm-hmm. I think we had some sewer work in a couple different areas, but those are things that we're going to do. And you know, when something happens, sometimes they just pop up. They need to be fixed, but we're ready to go.
Made it through Super Nationals. Seems like everything went pretty well for that.
I think it went very well. We had a huge crowd. I mean, it was so busy out on the south end, and there was times that you couldn't get into Walmart or the Casey's, and I know some of the restaurants out there, it was full, which is great for the community, and sounds like there may be some changes coming next year for that, the Super Nationals. So.
We'll see how it comes together.
Yeah.
It did. It just kept growing and getting bigger
and
bigger.
Oh, it's huge.
So. All right, Boom Mayor John Slight's been a guest on our program today. We do have a few committee meetings that'll be coming up and things like that. But really, the next council meeting is going to be on the 2nd of October.
Yep.
And by then, we'll know who's going to be candidates for what office.
That's right.
And not just city offices, but also for the schools,
school
too.
Board, yeah.
We've got all that election coming up here in November.
Yeah, that's 5 o'clock this Thursday, I believe.
The paperwork into the city clerk, and then clerk's got to get it to the auditor.
Yep.
The next day. All right. Thanks for taking the time to come in.
You bet. Thank you.